the series of lessons centered around the statement which we have read so many times in the Bible, fear not. We have gone through four lessons already, and this hopefully will be the fifth lesson. I'm not sure if there will be, at least for this time, another lesson on the subject I said for this time. Because remember, the statement "fear not" occurs some between it and its complement, "be not afraid." We find it some 180 plus times in the Bible. It therefore means that we could easily well have 180 sermons on that very phrase. But for the time being, probably this will be the final lesson, and I repeat again, for the time being. For one, I may just state here, Sunday coming, God's will, Brother Gladwin Kiddu will be speaking for us in our Sunday morning service. Thursday gone was the first time I've had the chance to sit down and speak to Brother Kiddu about the terrible accident that he had some months ago. And when he tells you about it, you will give God thanks, because he stated that the seat, the front seat, he was the driver that he was sitting in, it tore out, and he was saved by the airbag. Terrible experience, but thank God. As I've said, Sunday coming, if God is willing, he will be speaking for us. I'll be away for one Sunday for a few days, and be glad that Brother Gladwin Kiddu will be here. He always bring helpful lesson, and you and those that you bring will be here to listen to what he will bring. We are still on the holiness of God as it relates to the statement found in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 17, I think, when John was in the island of Patmos, at which time and place the Almighty God gave him the contents of the book of Revelation. John was so fearful that he had to prostrate himself before the presence of Jesus Christ. It was then that Jesus Christ not only identified himself, as if to say to John, I am, because John had never seen Jesus Christ in that magnificent and glory and holiness. Christ has always been holy. It was like Jesus Christ was saying to John, I am the same Christ with whom you have lived for 3.5 years. Like he was saying, and over these 50 years, John, since my ascension, you have been witnessing for me, working for me. I'm the same Christ. John needed that assurance. It was then that Jesus Christ said to him, fear not. So we continue on the fact that the holiness of God is a fearful thing for sinful men and women. We spoke some on the passage of Leviticus chapter 10 last week. Let us hear it again. Verse 1 through verse 3. And Nadab and Abihu.
The sons of Aaron. Took either of them his censer.
Each one took his censer.
And put fire therein.
They put fire therein. That's the right thing.
And put incense thereon.
They put incense on it. All of this is from God's command.
And offered strange fire before the Lord.
But the kind of fire, Brother Mitchell, all fire are the same fire. Not necessarily so.
And offered strange...
Wait, brother. The dietitian will tell you that how you cook your food and the fire, what type of fire you use, is it wood, is it gas, or is it flame from some other things, that determines how healthy your food comes out. That's right. They even will tell you that it's best to cook your food on low flame. That's right. So the fire that these two priests used was not what God ordered. Read on.
Which he commanded them not.
Which he commanded them not. Read on.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them.
Read on.
And they died before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Then Moses said unto Aaron,
uh-huh,
this is it that the Lord spake.
In other words, the tragedy that you are witnessing, what I always find strange is that Aaron could not even mourn for his two sons. They had just been killed before him. And he couldn't mourn. God had forbidden that. Read, brother.
Saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
I will be
sanctified.
Holy.
In them that come nigh me.
In them that come nigh me. Notice this with me. There are many things about the quality the character and the attribute of God that God could appeal to. The Almighty God did not say, I will be wise, or be made wise, or be acknowledged as wise in them that come nigh me. But he didn't appeal to his wisdom. He could have said, I will be knowledgeable, that is omniscient, is all-knowingness, in them that come nigh me. But God did not appeal to his knowledge. He could have said, I will be a loving God in them that come nigh me. But God did not appeal to his love. In fact, I can go on and on in respect to aspect of God's characteristic that he could appeal to when they made this error. But the one thing that God appealed to was his holiness. That is striking. I will be holy in them who come nigh me. That is, you will acknowledge my holiness when you approach me. That's what it comes down to, you know, and that has implications for us. Have you noticed that Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3 was a scene of worship, huh? We are here as participants in worship today. You need to remember that the first tragedy in the Old Testament, are we all there? Surround worship. Cain and Abel. You remember? And first tragedy in the New Testament church also surround worship. Ananias and Sapphira. It's important that we keep that in mind as help and guide for us. Because, wait. The words that the Almighty God spoke to Cain, if you have done well, meaning if you have done what I say, don't you know I would have expected it? Watch here now. But because you did not do well, sin couch at your door. Now, did you know that when Ananias and Sapphira sinned, it was also that they did not give in keeping with God's stipulation. They were, among other things, in sin, seer, and God killed them. First tragedy we have in the New Testament church, it surrounds worship. When the brothers, when worship is called to, we must remember that we are before the Almighty God in a special way. And the Almighty God wants us to respect what worship is and to reverence Him. Brothers and sisters, I said last week that sin is dealt with on the basis of God's holiness. Sin is dealt with by God in two ways. That sin will either be paid for in Jesus Christ on Christ's terms and conditions, or sin will be punished in the eternal hell. The Almighty God has no other way to deal with sin. And we are there. Hell stands for and shows the holiness of God. State it another way, Brother Mitchell. It's because of God's holiness that there is a hell. Still explain that for me, Brother Mitchell. Men and women are the devils, cannot go against God's will, God's word, God's purpose, and not pay for it. That's the holiness of God. May I? Because of our sinfulness, we are conflicted. We are confused. We are uncertain. We experience internal tug of war or civil war because of our sinfulness. Run to Romans chapter 7. And hold for me verse 8, then you step down to verse 14 through 15. Watch here. I have just stated it, that because we are sinful. May I? We set out to do things, but there's something else that is to be done. None of them is wrong within itself. But yet we experience tug of war. Which one should I go about first? And we are conflicted. And that happens in a dozen different areas of life. Where there is the internal tug of war. We are confused. We are not. In fact, there are some things we are not even sure of one day if this is right and proper. We'll ask questions like that, where we are uncertain. And there are areas where we are certain that that is not right, yet that's the thing we are pulled to do. And we abandon the right thing. The Almighty God don't experience those feelings because He is holy. But we experience internal civil war. Romans chapter 7 verse 8. And that internal civil war is because of our sinfulness. That's why we are conflicted. That's why we are confused. That's why there is a tug of war in our lives. Read on.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence.
Of what?
Concupiscence.
Uh-huh.
For without the law, sin was dead.
All manner of concupiscence. You see, that appeals to the conscience. That sin. The knowledge that this is right. And the inclination to do wrong. You know. Now, step down to verse 14 and 15.
For we know. That the law is spiritual.
Is spiritual.
But I am carnal.
That means we know that what God says is right.
Sold on the sin.
But I am what?
I am carnal.
Carnal. Sold.
Sold on the sin.
And the sin.
For that which I do, I allow not.
Did you get that? That which I do, the wrong things, I am drawn to do and sometimes do, I do not allow it. I do not want to do it. I know it is wrong. Read on.
For what I would, that do I not.
Wait. He's talking about the tug of war, the civil war. And that which was up, brother?
For that I would.
That which I want to do, know to be right.
That do I not.
I don't do it. But what I hate, that is what I do. That's right. That's right. And at some time or the other, that describes every one of us here. At some time or the other. Brothers and sisters, God does not have that type of experience. Because God is pure and holy. Listen, James chapter 1 and verse 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Everything that is good and perfect is from God.
And cometh down from the Father of light.
Of what?
Of light.
I want you to notice that. A Father of light. There is no speck of darkness. Wrongness in the Almighty God. Read on.
With whom is no variableness.
There is no variableness. Now, may I? One of the problems, you find at the workplace, you find it at the bus, you find it at the bank, you find it in the church, is what you deal with people who have mood swing. Are we all there? There are people who sometimes they are just nice and sweet and all smiling and all this. There's another time they are like the devil himself. If you say hello, you are wrong. If you say you look nice, you are wrong. If you say you don't look nice, you are wrong. Mood swing. They are from one extreme, and none of us like that. When people are unpredictable, you are nervous around those people. You don't know at what time they got up on the wrong side of the bed. Huh? You don't have to fret about that with God. Read again, brother. Quick now.
Every good gift. And every perfect gift. Is from above.
Is from above, meaning it is from God.
And cometh down from the Father of light.
Comes from the Father of light.
With whom is no variableness.
There is no variance. Difference. There is no variableness. God, read on.
Neither shadow of turning.
God is not one thing today and another thing tomorrow. God is not one thing this hour and another thing the other hour. God, because of His holiness, God is constant. Amen. Thank God for that. We are not constant. God is never confused, conflicted, or uncertain. Praise be to God, we deal with a God like that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I started last week on the point of prayer. Yes, we did touch one or two areas on that. But let me say a little more on it. The holiness of God creates a gap, a gulf, or separation between the holy God and sinful men and women. We must always remember that. There's a word that my grandmother and people like that usually use. The word sounds coarse, but it's not a nasty word. My grandmother would say, "Boy, you think me and you are quabs?" It simply means you think me and you are equal. Brothers and sisters, listen again. The holiness of God creates a gap, a gulf, a separation between the holy God and sinful men and women. Hence, when the Bible speaks of a mediator, Christians and visitors, get this. It simply means there can be no contact between man and God. You know why? There is sinfulness over here. There is holiness over here. Sin has created a gap. It placed God far away from us and placed us at a distance between us and God. Listen to Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 3. Another person of Job, chapter 9. Verse 33, another person of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Let us hear these passages.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened.
Wait. Sorry, I'm trying to make up my mind. You see, the Almighty God doesn't have to wait and make up his mind. There's another passage in Isaiah that I'm wondering if I should bring it in because it helped to explain. And that is chapter 1. In fact, read and then chapter 1, Brother Webb, I think I'm going to warn from around verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 1, 13 or 14. Jonathan, read.
Behold, The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear.
What is the problem, Brother Mitchell?
But
wait, brother. There was a problem between God's people, the Israelite, and God. They discovered that God was not being responsive to their prayer. Anybody hear that? God was not answering their prayers. And they were coming up with all the excuses and the reason they think. But they were wrong. God is giving them the explanation to these unanswered prayers. God says, my hands have not gotten weak. That's not the reason. I am not responding to what you asked me for. God said, I have not developed hearing problem so that I'm not hearing you. God says, what, brother? What else?
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Brother Jonathan, were you in here when I said that man's sin create a gap, a separation, a gulf between man and God?
Amen.
Well, here you have God telling us that our sin, man's sin, separate man from God.
Amen.
Huh? Read on, brother.
And your sins have hid his face from you.
And your sins have hid his face from you.
That he will not hear.
That he will not hear you. Wait, wait. You see, God over your man, what is the problem? Sin. Because God is holy. Now, listen, Isaiah, let him further explain it. Chapter 1, I think it is, either verse 13 or somewhere there.
Bring no more vain oblation.
You start at the right verse, brother. God says, bring no more
vain oblation.
Wait. These are all the animal sacrifice and all of that the Israelites were told to bring. But they were vain. You get the point? They were bringing it, but God was not accepting it. Read on.
Incense is an abomination unto
me. Is an abomination.
The new moons and Sabbaths.
Wait, you all hear that? When you keep the weekly Sabbath and the monthly Sabbath, the new moon referred to the monthly Sabbath. The Sabbath referred to the weekly Sabbath. That men and women who are wrongly led today tell you should keep.
The calling of assemblies.
The calling of assemblies.
I cannot away with.
I cannot. That means God is saying I cannot stand it. Away with it.
It is iniquity.
It is iniquity. Wait. The very thing the Almighty God asked them to bring to him now becomes iniquity. Read on.
Even the solemn meeting.
Uh-huh.
Your new moons.
Your new moon again. The monthly Sabbath.
And your appointed feast.
Your appointed feast. Remember, there were seven feasts. The weekly Sabbath was a feast. The monthly Sabbath was a feast. Are so described in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Read on.
Your new moons and your appointed feasts.
Mm-hmm.
My soul hateth.
Uh-huh.
They are a trouble.
Uh-huh.
I am weary to bear them.
Read on.
And when ye spread forth your hands.
Now, Brother Webb, let's talk about prayer. Huh? When you spread your hand, that is, sometimes this is the way that the religious leaders stood. They may raise a hand or hold up their hand as they pray to God. God says, when you spread forth your hand,
I will hide mine eyes from you.
I will hide mine eyes from you.
Yea. When you make your many prayers.
When you make not one, but your many prayers.
I will not hear.
Everybody hear that? We are on prayer, you know, because there's a lot of problem today about prayer. And I'm saying, brothers and sisters, it all has to do with the holiness of God. Some people have no respect or regard that God is highly transcendent above all in his character. And you know, country people also use the word exalt. You know, I'm a country man. That's why all these words don't leave my vocabulary. That's right. You're too exalt. That a lot of people want to exalt with God. What you have just read, dear brother?
When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood.
Your hands are full of blood.
Wash you.
Wash you.
Make you clean.
Make yourself clean. Wait. This is not talk about getting a bath. That's not what is under consideration here. This is talk about sin and repentance. Getting your life. But you know another thing, brothers and sisters? When we don't know sin, we think we are holy when we are steeped in sin. That's another problem. Watch you!
Make you clean.
Make yourself clean.
Put away the evil of your doings.
Put away the evil of your doing.
From before
be
my
that
eyes.
Evil committed in the mind, committed with the mouth, committed with our action, our conduct, wherever it is committed, God says, put it away. Because it hinders prayer. And that has to do with the holiness of God. You see, there is a gap. Are we all there? Hence, a mediator. We cannot make contact with God in our sinful state. Job chapter 9, verse 33.
Neither is there any daysman betwixt us.
Job. In the man's agony, in the man's suffering. When Job was stripped down to his bare individuality, just everything left the man and God, just holding on to his life, Job realized that he really wanted to talk to God. But Job had enough sense to know that God was holy. Brother Jonathan, what it says there, verse 33?
Neither is there any daysman between
you know who a daysman is? An umpire. A come between. A mediator. Job, some 2,000 years before Jesus Christ, recognized the holiness of God and is there acknowledging that he and God cannot have the meeting that Job longed to have with God to explain and to find out from God, what have I done? He needed a mediator. Are we all there? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. In fact, you didn't finish the passage, brother.
Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both.
You get the point? You bridge the gap. Lay his hand. I want to talk to both of you. You see, one of you is the desk, one of you is the blackboard. I have my hand on both of you. I'm going to split the difference. I'm the base man. I'm the umpire. I'm the mediator. I'm the come between. Because of man's sinfulness, he needs an appropriate come between. May I? If you are going to see the judge, don't carry Brother Mitchell to speak for you. I don't know the law. You need a lawyer. That's right. If you are going to look somebody to be a mediator between you and God, that person's character, etc., etc., has to be in keeping with God. Timothy now.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men,
Wait, Brother Webb. Everybody, how many mediator?
One.
That is not the Roman Catholic priest. Are we all here? For you to be told that you must take your sin to a particular person and tell that person, and that person will take it to God. If you are a child of God, you can take your sin to God yourself. Because the Almighty God has told me in the gospel that He has made this side of the cross every one of His children priests. Did you all get that? Every true child of God is a priest. So the mediator here, the one mediator is Jesus Christ. Huh?
The man Christ Jesus.
The stated divine truth in St. John 9:31, which we have just read also in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14 following. This stated divine truth is grounded in the holiness of God. John 9:31. John 9:31. We can quote it, you know. I can quote it and you can quote it, but I want it read.
Now we know.
Brother Webb, the man didn't say, I think. All Jews knew this. What did they know?
Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth.
Everybody gets that? All Jews knew this, that God does not hear sinners' prayer. That is grounded in the holiness of God. It's because God is separated from sinful men. Why? He will not be responsive to the prayers of the sinner. We have here, now we know that God heareth not sinner. You know what? I stated here and I state again, prayer, that is effective prayer, is a relationship thing. Meaning, Brother Mitchell, you must have a relationship with God for Him to hear your prayer. Explain that, Brother Mitchell. You and God must come together in the days, man, the mediator. That's a fact. That's why He gave Jesus Christ. Job asked for somebody to be a come between. God sent Jesus Christ to be that come between. But Brother Mitchell, since God sent Him, then can I go to Him? No, you must be in Christ. You see, there must be a relationship between you and Christ. You must give Jesus Christ a chance to address your sin. Then God will hear your prayer through Jesus Christ. Not before. Put it another way, Brother Mitchell. You must be an obedient man or woman to the will of God. Pray a thousand prayers today and the last get lost in the ear. Pray every day for the rest of the year and yes, they get lost. If they are heard, or rather, if they are responded to, it won't be by the Holy God. Unless you are a child of God, accepting Christ, born again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, at which point the Almighty God gives you holiness, you are a child of His. Now we know that God hears not prayer, but the man in the book of John is not the only one. Remember, we have just read in Isaiah chapter 1. where the Almighty God told the Israelites for them to go and cleanse themselves spiritually. We have read in Isaiah 59, where the Almighty God explained to the Israelites why their prayer were not heard. And now we have read in this text, John 9:31, can we hear a little of what Peter says on the matter, chapter 3? Verse 10 through verse 12, 1 Peter, let us hear it.
For he that will love life,
he that will love life,
and see good days,
if you want to live, and the life here is not necessarily this life, because this is just a little taste of what life is all about. It's the real life to come. He who would love life and see what?
Good days.
Good days. Good days have not yet really come. They are to come in eternity. Read on.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil.
And his lips that they speak no guile.
And his lips that they speak no bitterness.
Let him eschew evil.
Let him stay away from evil.
And do good.
And let him or her do good.
Let him seek peace.
Let him seek peace.
And ensue it.
And encourage peace.
For the eyes...
Wait, no, brother. Here again we come with my countryness. In the country you have some people will say, Jane Brown is warify, you see. Are you horrified? You love conflict. You love to tease up a fire. Huh? Lot of time the fire we tease up consume us. Read on, brother.
For the eyes of the Lord.
For the eyes of the Lord.
Are over the righteous.
Are over everybody.
Are over the righteous.
You know, as human beings, wherever we see a good thing, we want to run and be a part of it. But with God, you cannot just run and be a part of His family unless you meet the condition. Let me hear that again.
For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous.
Over who?
Are over the righteous.
Over who?
The righteous.
That's the Christian. The obedient. Read on, the brother, where you stop for.
And his ears are open.
And God's ears are open to what?
Unto their prayers.
To their prayers.
But the face of the Lord.
Take time with me there. But the face of the Lord.
Is against them that do evil.
Brother Jonathan, that comes back to God's holiness. God's face is against them that do evil. That's why God gives us a mediator to make the connection. In fact, may I? The mediator fixes us up. Oh, Lord. You know, if I have my life to live again, I want to live nowhere but country. You are going out and your parents, they fix you up. They fix you up. Because they want you to look a certain way. I told you what my mother said when I cried, going to school probably 10, 11, 12, never forget that. When the pants got torn and my mother sewed it up and I look on it and was crying, bawling. I'm lucky she didn't lick me down. True. Bawling and telling her about my friend going to laugh at me. She said, tell them so your mama dead. That's right. Brothers and sisters, prayer. God gives us a mediator to fix us up. Eh? so that we can approach God the only way we can. That is, have our sins removed, cleansed, rid of. And then the Almighty God not only did the negative, getting rid of sin, but the Almighty God gives us some holiness. That's how Jesus Christ can bridge the gap and bring man and God together. And that's why, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in faith, repentance, confessing Christ's name, getting baptized with a resolution to come from the water to live for Christ, if you have not done that, you may pray a million prayers. God, not only that God will not, God cannot. Because God is limited by His holiness. Oh Lord, time to end the message. Look at Hebrews 9:14 and 15.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal...
May I draw a little illustration here? May I? It would be wonderful for us, any of us, if we could just simply take up our phone and call the Prime Minister and speak to him about our concern. Because each one of us have some concern. And it would be good, you know, where you just take up the phone and you phone the Prime Minister and he answer the phone and you talk to him. That doesn't work. You and I cannot just simply take up the phone and phone the Prime Minister and get him. Huh? Not just the Prime Minister, even other Minister of Government. Are we all there? This has to do with the person's positional prestige. That is the position the person holds. Watch, you know, and the demand that is made on his or her time in that position. You do not take up the phone and get directly to the Prime Minister. In fact, any person in high position in some of these high profile jobs, calls are screened. They have to go through sometimes 2-3 persons. And then somewhere along the way, somebody going to ask you, what do you want to see the Prime Minister, minister this or that for? And you have to explain. And in many cases, they are going to probably put you on to somebody else. Brothers and sisters, that has to do with the person's positional state or prestige, the position the person holds. You cannot just go to God in prayer. That is equal to you taking up the phone and just phoning and you get the Prime Minister. You cannot just simply go to God if you do not go in Christ. But that is not so much God positional situation. It is God's character situation. It has direct bearing on the holiness of God and our sinfulness. That's why there can't be any contact. We are separated. There is a gulf created by sin. And until you come to the Almighty God through Christ for that sin to be dealt with, prayer is not a privilege of yours. There are more to be discussed in this lesson, but it has to stay until another time. I want to really take up at this point God's plan of salvation and to go in some more detail that sin cannot be dealt with on any bandulo basis. But that might be a sermon by itself. When you and I come up with ways and invent some religious thing and it looks good to the church and everybody excited about it, a lot of time those are nothing but they bring condemnation on us. Anything man does outside of the gospel, you are encroaching on the very holiness of God. And we need to encourage men and women. And a passage to keep in mind is the passage of Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3. We need to remind men and women of the holiness of God and its implication. That you cannot just interfere with that which God said and feel everything is okay. God will accept it anyway. When God killed Nadab and Abihu, the lesson He was sending to men and women then and thereafter is that when you interfere and disregard what He says, you are encroaching on the holiness of God. Today, you can show reverence and respect to God's holiness by responding in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power unto salvation. That is, the Almighty God has no other means to bring you to Him through Christ and to deal with your sin other than the gospel of Christ. We are going to stand and sing. If you are here today, if you are not a Christian, if you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, there is no better time than now to do it. If you are a Christian, a child of God who has strayed, grown unfaithful, backslidden, God has given you the opportunity now to come and seek forgiveness and recommit your life to Him. As we sing, it's a good time for you to step forward, acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, or acknowledging that you need God's help as we stand and sing.